Blog Talk Radio.
Once again on Queensberry Rules Radio, I'm Patrick Hunter of QueensberryRules.com. Just momentarily here, we will be joined by, of course, who else are we going to be joined by? Bad Left Hook's James Foley. However, today, every time Golovkin comes around, every time he's got a new fight coming up, we do something special, right? We have to. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. We're contractually obligated. We have Mr. Jimmy Tobin coming back to the show today from Cruelest Sport, of course. Come on, if you don't know Jimmy Tobin, get out of here. Just turn it off. Stop watching. That said, Mr. Foley is now on the line. James.
Mr. Connor.
How are you, my friend?
Good. Good.
I'm trying something a little...
You sound really good. You sound a lot clearer than usual.
Yeah, I'm trying something slightly different, and I'm going to try to minimize talking about it, but I'm trying something a little different, so hopefully it'll come through in the recording. But at some point, I was just telling the three and a half listeners or so that we got, because the dude who plays, the little guy on Game of Thrones, I heard listens, so that's the half. All three and a half of our listeners. We got Jimmy Tobin coming back today. It's going to be fun stuff, I believe.
He's approaching the Five Timers Club.
Is he four or five? I don't even know.
This might be number four.
Damn.
I have to look at my spreadsheet.
Yeah, I don't know. I got drawn up somewhere. We'll figure it out. Oh, you know what? That might be him right now. Jimmy.
So. Hello.
Hello.
There he is.
Thank God.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And we were praying, dude. We were praying and, how are you?
I'm okay. All of these things working.
So are you excited
well,
for this Golovkin offering or what?
I don't know, man. I guess so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't be stupid. Obviously, I'll be pumped when it happens. But I don't know. It's just not what I want for him, loving him as I do.
Well, let's see. I mean, fuck it. Since we're there, let's jump right in. This is the point of the show anyway. This coming weekend, just for anybody who doesn't know, and if you don't know, you're stupid. You're not an actual boxing fan. This coming weekend on HBO for Monte Carlo, Gennady Golovkin, middleweight sensation, Kazaki middleweight sensation, is going to be taking on Martin Murray. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that there's going to be some amount of excitement no matter what when Gennady Golovkin fights at this point. I think that's more or less been proven. He has not reached superstardom, I think it's safe to say, but could potentially be on his way there. The talk, I believe, going into this fight, if I'm not mistaken, is that this is perhaps, potentially, probably Golovkin's best opponent. What say you, Mr. Tobin?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Sturm fight, Murray, got the draw in the Sturm fight. You could say maybe he wanted, maybe he didn't. He fought Martinez pretty well. I think he's probably the best guy that Golovkin's faced. The division isn't very strong, but if you were going to pick a guy, I mean, this is a guy that maybe a year ago, if Golovkin would have fought him, or 2 years ago, people would have thought, pretty highly of the matchup. I don't know if it's the same way now. I don't know if people feel the same way now, but it is kind of the pickings the way they are. It's kind of getting the best guy that's out for him, I think.
What do you think, James? Would you agree that this is probably the best opponent that he's faced?
Yeah, but we kind of tickled Golovkin's prostate sufficiently last week. I mean, yeah, Murray's good, but. I don't think it's still not going to be much of a contest. But I do want to congratulate my man Jimmy Tobin on expecting a new addition this year, that and who may grow up to become the next Triple G. So congratulations.
Oh, we can only hope. Thanks, man. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, I've sacrificed a few calves in the expectation that we'll have a heavyweight champion, but I don't know. We don't really know if such pagan traditions really affect these things, but I'm hopeful. I really am hopeful. Congratulations, though, seriously.
Thanks,
and,
buddy.
Oh, and of course, congratulations. I forgot. Congratulations on also being the best boxing writer on the face of the planet. We always have to say that. It's tradition.
Yeah, I know you do. Tradition.
Well,
that's,
you know,
like undeserved praise. It's very, very Max Kellerman of you.
Well, what I could have said was, move over, better beef, because we got the best beef today.
Yeah, my beef is the best beef.
That's true. Well, so I was actually it was last week with Matthew Swain, but also I was speaking to our friend Martin from TKO Radio yesterday, and I was curious on what your guys' thoughts were about this fight being in Monte Carlo. I mean, Mr. Swain essentially said that it was a tax situation, that there was basically just more money to be made in Monte Carlo. I mean, it almost seems like as if there's a slow outsourcing lately of certain fights overseas, either to Macau or it's happened a few times in the past, not a ton, to Monte Carlo. What's the overall thought of that? I mean, does anybody care? Does it have any big effect on the fight, the atmosphere, anything?
I thought it's because Murray can't come to the States. That was like,
oh,
my understanding.
You know what,
some
dude?
Kind of issue from,
I
like,
totally forgot
record.
About that. Yeah, I'm an idiot. You're right. Because they had tried. Yeah, I had totally forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, never mind. Ignore that question. Well, I mean, regardless, though, do you think that, even though it has a different context now, obviously, the Monte Carlo stuff and the Macau stuff is a more viable option in the future for fighters like this? That, I mean, we saw Gennady Golovkin draw a pretty good amount in Carson. That was a fun show. There were a lot of people for that type of venue. When you step up to a different type of venue, like an MGM Grand Garden Arena, though, I mean, it's not as if that's a huge venue. I want to say it's like 17,000 capacity or something. So that's not huge. But I think that there would probably be some difficulty for a guy like Golovkin, as popular as he's become, there would be some difficulty, you know, for him to actually make a place like the Grand Garden Arena look full and, you know, make it kind of sound good, sound popping like an average, I don't know. It's tough to compare it to a Mayweather fight because that's just the premium event. But regardless, I mean, there seems to be a gap here. So then is this overseas business the viable option, I guess? Yes?
Jimmy, you want to jump in there with that?
All right.
You're an international man.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's the Carl Froch of writers.
I don't know, like, so the thing is, like, it's all about the opponent for a guy like Golovkin, right? Like, Rubio was the right guy to pick for StubHub, and, like, Murray is kind of the right guy, or not Murray, sorry, like Macklin was a good pick for New York, and it all kind of depends on who he's fighting. He's not at a point where he's going to sell out anything on his own, I don't think. Like, it'd be interesting to see, but I don't think that's going to happen. So it would be interesting to see, but I don't know that, like, the Murray fight, is anybody really excited about it? Like, were you going out of your way to go to it? You know, that's the question. I don't know that, obviously people aren't because it's in Monte Carlo, but it really go out of their way to go to it. I'm not sure. So, you know, if he's going to be active and HBO is going to pick it up and show it, and he has shown a willingness to move around a bit, and Murray has fought in Monte Carlo, put it over there. That's the whole thing, like, with him is, like, this is just the next one, you know, like, this is just the next guy he's beating. And so how do you make an event out of a guy knocking out the next guy he's knocking out? I don't know.
Do you see him getting any type of fight that could lead him to becoming a more of a crossover star or somebody who could Because I think I think he's already bigger than most fighters. I mean, I think that, like, if he came to Chicago, which is just a random city that I happen to live in, you know, I think he would probably draw you know, a better number than, like, Andre Fonfara would, who has a huge Polish fan base. Because, you know, boxing fans know him. I mean, he's probably not going to sell out, you know, Madison Square Garden or the MGM Grand, you know, 15,000 people. But I think he could pull probably 7 or 8. And so I think he has a little bit of a, you know, more of a name. He's not a complete nobody. But what could turn him into that guy who can, you know, headline those type of venues?
I mean, we know who those guys are.
There's like three of them.
Yeah, I don't know who's going
to. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, I mean, Cotto's not going to fight him. Canelo, I don't know. Those are two of them. Like, then, and then there's Ward. But Ward hasn't fought in, like, this decade and wants at least a year of tune-ups and wants to be paid handsomely for them. So he's like, yeah, that's the fight that I don't see that happening anytime soon. So it's kind of like, for me, like an ennui kind of drifting in here with this guy who I was so excited about even a year ago. You know, because there are those fights out there and I just don't see them fall.
Is Ward the one you would look most forward to?
Yeah, for sure. That's the one, right? Because that's, you know, Ward is world-class elite fighter.
And what I think particularly, I was just going to say what I think is particularly frustrating about this situation, from at the very least a fan's perspective, is that you can't really feel sorry for Golovkin. I mean, you can't feel sorry for him getting 7 figures for these types of fights where he's going in and he's, you know, by pretty much all accounts, a solid, if not heavy, favorite. You know, you can't feel sorry for a guy in that situation. But for a guy in that situation who seems to desperately want to reach a different level, yeah, it sucks. You feel bad for the guy.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, you get the headline show as a 7-1 favorite, like he did against Rubio or whatever the certain number was there. Like, that, you don't feel bad for him. But at the same time, like, you kind of want him to get the kind of fight that he's looking for.
Totally.
And then there's, you know, that's coming, you can bet. I mean, it started early, but it's going to come now. We're like it's just a sequel to a movie everybody's seen already, right? And now he's 32, and he's getting older, and, like, at some point he's got to do something that's noteworthy, which isn't to say that knocking out, like, 19 straight people or whatever isn't noteworthy. It is, but you know what I mean. He needs that kind of fight. Except he's in the sweet position where he doesn't really need that fight because it seems like HBO will kind of bankroll him squashing guys. So, yeah, you don't feel bad for him. But at the same time, like, how exciting is that? How interesting is that? How compelling is that? I don't know.
He's in a tough position because, like, those star-making fights, you know, like, Mayweather's not going to fight Golovkin. Cotto's probably not going to fight Golovkin. Canelo, you know, maybe he would have the balls to do it, but chances are, you know, his people would try to prevent that, and he's going to have a lot of other options himself. Yeah, but those fights, you know, a little bit above Golovkin's weight class, Andre Ward and, you know, a Kovalev fight, which would be a crazy jump up from all the way from middleweight to light heavyweight, and fight, you know, the baddest guy in the division, even sure that those are really star-making fights, you know, because Ward and Kovalev, they're huge among boxing fans, but they're not really superstars. So that's kind of that tough situation here, is like the fights that would really validate Golovkin as being this great pound for pound, you know, he's right there with Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao or whoever, are fights that probably, you know, I mean, they would be bigger than the ones he's having now, but they're not going to be, you know, a million pay-per-view buys. So it's just, he could go up and do this crazy shit. Like, he could go up and beat Andre Ward and beat Sergey Kovalev, and we would all be, you know, circle jerking, and we need multiple pails for that. But they're not going to turn him into that kind of a superstar.
No, and if he fights Cotto, which, like, be the guy who has the kind of, like, Q rating that people would notice and get excited. But do we really think Cotto stands a chance in that fight? Like, honestly, so even the name opponent, even the glamorous opponent would be kind of poo-pooed in a way because, you know, like, what's Cotto at middleweight really? think that Golovkin is even a relative approximation of his height, then he smashes Cotto. So, you know, it would be notable if you saw, like, on ESPN, the page that, like, Golovkin KO2 Miguel Cotto or something, people would be like, holy shit. But, like, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, that would just kind of validate what I think about him, and that's not satisfying everybody again. So, like, the guy's kind of, he's kind of in a fucked position. Can do so,
and
make a pretty
good living.
Guys like
Cotto and Canelo have those, like, really rabid ethnic, you know, fan bases, and the question is, you know, no doubt they would be incredibly enamored and impressed with Golovkin were he to destroy either one of those two guys. But right, would they start following him and actually, you know, and that's a little bit probably going to be a negative, you know. So
yeah.
I think the closest comparison people have made is like kind of the ascent of Manny Pacquiao, but even Pacquiao, the Philippines is a much huger country than Kazakhstan, and he also had that huge ethnic fan base and kind of was adopted by
Pereira,
you know,
and
all
Morales, Marquez, and like he had that laid out for him. He was with Top Rank who could make those fights for him. You know,
he had
way more
opponents, and he also had Oscar De La Hoya to jump on, you know, on his stardom.
Yeah,
and he had a
first but
Mayweather.
Yeah, but Manny Pacquiao didn't have as many horny fanboys for fans.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, he had
you
can't
count
but
that.
Yeah, I mean. You know, Golovkin's a little more physically striking, but pause.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying,
but
dude.
You know, I think Pacquiao, he still needed. He kind of also had, you know, was benefited from the circumstances that he came in. He had De La Hoya, and he also, I think, even just the specter of Mayweather, even though they never fought, I think raised Manny's profile and what he did to Cotto. You know, he had so it took him a while to get to that level. I think the more fascinating, I mean, I still think it's pretty amazing that Floyd was able to become the superstar that he did with the style that he's fought in, you know, and really just cultivating that persona and kind of appealing to a niche of the audience that hadn't really had a fighter to rally around in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know if Floyd can...
Like jumping off of a Gotti win, you know, that really kind of moved him up. As far as people, you know, his kind of like the public's awareness of him, it's crazy that it was a guy like Gotti who helped do it. But that's the thing, right? Like, that speaks to the bigger issue. And, like, we haven't talked about Martin Murray in fucking, I don't know, 10 minutes. But, like, how do you make, like, who's going to be the next guy? Maybe they don't, fucking whatever. But there are kind of a plan for moving the next guy into that place. You know, like the Super Six was really good, but it's for the super middleweight division, which is whatever. And then the guy who won it is fucking delusional. So Golovkin can be the HBO guy. It looks like he is that guy. They treat him like he is, and that's awesome. But for him, you know. But how do you make the next guy? Like, who, if you're looking at who's going to replace the two kind of main dudes right now? Like, what's out there? What fighter out there could really do it? And if in at Showtime, like, because it really comes down to networks, right? Like, who knows what's going on at Showtime? That's a disaster and hilarious in its own way. And HBO was the other major power broker, or the only network one now, because Heyman takes his business where he wants. But, you know, like, guy, and it just doesn't have the appeal of like the Pacquiao thing or Oscar thing. Like, you know, I don't know. And, you know, if it's symptomatic of a bigger problem, like making a network responsible for developing a star as opposed to a promoter or a fighter being backs of the people he beats. I don't know.
I don't think there's any question that it's at least in some part a symptom of a larger issue within the sport. And, I mean, a lot of these things tie together. It's a somewhat complex issue with a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what-have-yous, et cetera. But regardless, I mean, I think that the guys that you named, that both of you named, Canelo, Cotto, Andre Ward, if we're talking about getting Gennady Golovkin to a different plane, after this bout, after this Martin Murray bout, there, I brought his name up again, obligatory for the next minute, we're good. So, assuming he wins this fight, like the vast majority of us seem to believe he will, and I think is a smart bet. I think that after this fight, there's really not much else that can be said at middleweight beyond those types of fighters, the Cotos, the Canelos, the Andre Wards. And I don't mention Canelo as like a supreme achievement at middleweight necessarily, but a fighter, again, that could propel him to a different plane here. So at middleweight, there's nobody else really. You know, there's those other guys who are kind of towards the outskirts, in my opinion, Peter Quill and Andy Lee, guys who you definitely would not favor, you know, to beat Golovkin at all. So I would say those guys are kind of on the outside looking in right now, unfortunately. And after beating Martin Murray, there's really nobody else at 160 to point to and say, well, he didn't beat that guy. He beat everybody he's supposed to beat up until now. And so at this point, after this fight, we need to start looking forward and going, look, like you said, he's 32. This ain't going to last forever. Sooner or later, he's not going to be able to time these guys like he is now. And so we need to jump at this and make something happen, whether it's making concessions, you know, financially or what. But just kind of like how, you know, we brought one of you guys brought up Pacquiao De La Hoya. Manny Pacquiao wound up initially making concessions and then kind of flipping the script and, you know, well, I'm not going to make that euphemism, but screwing Oscar over, I guess, at the negotiating table. But, you know, just take some type of concession. Give something up in order to make one of these fights happen, although I'm not going to count on Andre Ward because who knows what the fuck that guy's doing at this point. Nobody knows. He doesn't know.
And like, to build on that, like, you people say, well, you know, he's going to wait because someone always kind of comes out of the fray. Someone always distinguishes themselves as, like, the most deserving guy out there or the next guy out there. And in a way, Golovkin kind of did.
Yeah,
but I don't know that
you
can really bank on that. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And you know, okay, Martinez is pretty much done. He might come back, he might not. Cotto is finishing out his career anyway. Like, he's on a victory lap, and the guy earned it. But like, I don't know that you can wait, especially at 32, for the division to kind of shake out and some shining challenger to identify himself, because I don't know that out there, or B, that you know, he's going to identify himself in time where that fight's still good. Like, Golovkin, you know, he kind of needs it now. So you make a few concessions and you kind of take fights you don't want. Why? Why do that if HBO is fully behind you kind of cleaning out the division? As, you know, I don't know, man. Like, it's pretty frustrating.
You know, Andre Ward's not De La Hoya, though, you know? So it's like he could go up and beat Andre Ward and make concessions and go all the way to 168 and let Ward, you know, pick out have his name first or whatever, but that's not going to really propel him to superstardom, I don't think. I mean, it'll definitely raise his profile a bit, and I think we would all gush over him if he won that. It would be probably the biggest win any fighter's had in a while. What's currently in the landscape. But, you know, I mean, I think the best case scenario for him would have been if the Canelo-Cotto fight happened and Canelo won, and then Golovkin fought Canelo. You know, I mean, I think that would have been seen as more, you know, legitimate. I mean, Canelo would kind of be able to legitimize himself with that win. And, you know, he's also obviously immensely popular.
More likely to actually take that fight, in my opinion, too, than Cotto.
Well, right, of course. Yeah, and he's a young guy. He's not, I mean, Cotto's going to always be seen as a small middleweight and older and has taken a lot of punishment. I mean, the Martinez fight aside, and he looked great in it, but, you know, he's not, nobody's mistaking this for the best version of Miguel Cotto anymore. But I think it's more likely we're probably going to see him fighting, you know, David Lemieux and Dom and Andy Lee and, you know, Peter Quillen, guys like that. Probably not Peter Quillen because he ducked Korobov, so he's not going to fight Golovkin. But, you know, that's the type of opponent that we're probably going to be seeing for the next, you know, indefinitely. I mean, some guys just maybe aren't meant to be superstars. It doesn't mean it can't be an all-time great. And maybe he can go up and fight Andre Ward. I think HBO would still throw a lot of money at it. But the idea that he's going to become a guy who's selling, you know, a million pay-per-views and making, you know, getting into that kind of stratosphere economically, I think it's probably unrealistic.
Yeah, and I think there's a danger there. Like, you go, Patrick.
Whoa.
You go,
buddy. Jimmy get disconnected? Or that was weird. Anyway, I was just going to say that I think that a lot comes down. Whoa. Oh, never mind. Sorry. That was a weird beat. But anyway, a lot of it comes down to, I think, that there being no roads. you know, there's going to be kind of a roadblock, I think, that there's going to be nowhere to go for Gennady Golovkin. At least I think that's kind of a worst-case scenario and probably what they're going to have to plan for. In other words, I think that it's unlikely that he'll wind up being able to get a fight with Cotto or whoever Cotto beats or doesn't beat or whatever. I think that it's unlikely in terms of the timing that he's going to be able to wind up getting a Canelo fight. And I am not banking on him at all getting an Andre Ward fight because I just am not even banking on Andre Ward being a fighter anymore. He's with a promotional outfit that might not even exist, you know, who knows? Who fucking knows? Nobody knows. So I'm not banking on that shit. And kind of how you guys are alluding to, he's going to come to a point where there's simply nowhere to go and he just wants to fight. That's kind of what I'm thinking. And so he probably will wind up taking on these Khorabovs, Lees, Peter Quillen. Ugh, I don't know if Peter Quillen actually gets his dick on and winds up fucking finding his balls. So, you know, we'll wind up seeing that type of stuff. But I do think that in the meantime, there's really no other option but just to clean out the division, which he has basically already done so thoroughly that now it's starting to have, like, another wave of people coming. And, you know, I agree that Cotto has kind of deserved this victory lap, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know, I know that it's kind of a struggle argumentatively in terms of where do we place this lineal title shit, but I do think that it's important. I do think that it's, you know, worth something, being the guy that beat the guy that beat the guy, et cetera. So then walk away, like walk to a different division, do something else, and kind of let somebody else handle it, start a new lineage, whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, that's not even that important. The matchup itself is what's important. So I'd like to see Golovkin do you know, better numbers, be a bigger type of superstar because he's exciting. He's funny. He's a guy that we like watching. So, yeah.
My thing with him, like, I'm with you. He's entertaining and I enjoy it. He's lovable, all that shit. And like the hype or whatever, you can take it or leave it. You got to remember where it's coming from, you know, like they are, you know, it's right. The thing that is kind of frustrating to me is like, yeah, well for me, and you should never listen to me, is that I want to know how good he is. And like,
exactly.
we're learning that to the extent that all of these dudes who we don't really highly regard anyway, are getting like fucking stomped. But that just proves that he's very, very good, right? Like who else is going to get the odds he gets against Murray or against, what's his face? Rubio, you know, like in those odds. So there should be something special about him. So let's see it.
Learning that he's better than the guys we thought he was better again than already. Like
yeah,
that's pretty
yeah.
much what
or maybe
it is.
We're
it's
learning
like,
that he's, yeah,
it's
he's
like getting Garcia
better.
Peterson a year late.
I think it's also the way that he's winning. You know, I mean, it's not like he's you know, eking decisions or that anyone's giving him any kind of a trouble. You know, I mean, he's beating really good fighters and he's just destroying them. So I think it's clear that he's really, really good. And it might be unfair to say like, well, you have to go and beat Andre Ward to prove that you're great. You know, because Ward's a really, you know, possibly great fighter himself.
Right.
It's too bad that he's been so inactive. But you know. It's going to play out. I mean, I think that HBO kind of knows what they have and the clock's ticking and he's, you know, it sucks that he's not 27 or 28, but I think they're going to force those big fights to happen, you know, one way or another. And, you know, both guys would probably make career high paydays against each other, but I agree. I think the Golovkin Ward is the fight to happen. It's probably not going to launch him into a superstar, but it's one of the best fights you can make in the entire sport.
Yeah. It's going to teach us something. We're going to learn something.
Exactly.
You know, like,
exactly. And it doesn't have to be a huge fight every time. It just has to be something better than what we've gotten every single time for the last, you know, 2 years.
Yeah. And, like, I don't care that it makes a big star of him or whatever. I don't really care because I'm only in this for my own entertainment. You know, the future of the sport is not something that I worry about. You know, like, I just want to see the shit I want to see. So show it to me because I pay you whatever a month to have a subscription to something that I'm only mildly interested in most of the time. You know, like I just want to, you can be
it,
in
it's
those.
Too bad that, I think it's too bad that they couldn't force a fight with Carl Froch to happen
earlier
before
Frotch kind of decided, I'm going to retire too, and I'll take one big fight, but it's going to be against somebody like Hopkins or Chavez, who's a little bit bigger name and, you know, not as much of a threat. Because I think that had Golovkin maybe a year ago said, you know what, I'm going to 168, if they could have made some kind of big offer to a guy like Frotch, I mean, there's no more perfect guy to fight. It'd be a great action fight, great stylistically. And, you know, if Golovkin would beat him, that just makes the Andre Ward fight so much bigger. And that would just, you know, I'd even love to see Golovkin and Chavez mix it up at some point. Just because even though Chavez, you know, he's not that good, he's a goofball, but he's huge. He's just physically such a big guy. You could do the Martinez fight shows. He didn't quit. You know, he took a ridiculous beating and was still there to be throwing punches in the 12th round to almost stop him. And his chin is just ridiculous. So to see someone like that who could possibly take, I think at this point we just want to see, as much as we love him, we also want to see him challenged a little bit. You know, we want to see him respond to adversity. And that's not taking, you know, a little punch from Danny Gill and then stopping him a second later. You know, that's having a guy who's actually going to be in his face throwing punches for multiple rounds and kind of see what Golovkin can do when maybe he gets a little bit hurt or, you know, the guy doesn't just immediately fold in half. I think that that's what we all want, and there's not many guys at middleweight who appear capable of doing that, you know. And the counter, you know, the only other thing is a fight like Cotto or Canelo, even though we would, of course, make Golovkin a huge favorite, probably just as big of a favorite as he is over Murray. But knowing that would be such a big event and seeing how he would respond in, like, under the brightest lights against guys like those that are going to have huge crowds behind them would also be, you know, interesting and different.
Yeah, that's you know, that's ideal. I don't think that's what we're going to get, which is a little unfortunate, or a lot unfortunate. I don't know. Depends on...
I'm a big Canelo guy. You guys think there's any way that Kirkland shows up in any kind of decent shape and gives him a good fight?
No, he might show up in decent shape, but he's going to lose.
Yeah.
He's a tough fighter, though, man.
He looks like a fat ass, man. That guy's going to be losing like 45 pounds in training camp for that.
Yeah. That dude looked big on that Fox Sports show.
For Nishida, another Nishida situation, he just gets dropped 7 times, so he has no legs from losing all that weight.
Yeah,
wouldn't be that surprised.
Even if he had Wolf, I think the timing for getting him was just right.
Exactly. That's what I don't really understand why they were aiming for him. I mean, I understand it's a winnable fight, but if we're doing the 2-fight-a-year thing and one of them Kirkland, then the other one better fucking be really good. I mean,
Kirkland at his best, though, is a handful.
Definitely,
I mean,
but he's been really inactive.
That's the problem, but we don't know what we're getting, so it's kind of like tainted by that. But I mean, had this been the Kirklands coming off of the Angulo fight, 6 months after that, I think everyone would love the fight with Canelo. I think a lot of people would pick Kirkland to beat him.
Yeah, I mean, if this was the second fight this year for Canelo, and Kirkland could get like at least one, maybe two in, just to sort of. Two guys.
Just let him beat up Ishe or something.
Yeah. Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah. So give him like the key to Las Vegas for smashing Ishe, and then you know he has a little steam behind him, and you know that he's in shape and he's looked decent. Then that's I would get up for that. I was pumped when they announced it, but then like that, and I don't know how much we're reading into this Wolf thing. Like. She probably, she's taken fights off his career training him, and he has looked his best with her. But at this point, like, might be too late for him anyway. You know, like, Canelo isn't shit. He can fight. So, it might be too late for Kirkland anyway.
He did us all a huge favor, and no matter how you scored the fight, he did us all a huge favor and ended the Lara hype train a little bit.
Yeah, that was pretty
ridiculous. Slowed it down. Yeah. I mean...
Did you a favor? We know that.
Okay.
Don't understand boxing. That's why you don't understand that Lara won. And I'm like, dude, it doesn't matter if I understand boxing or whatever.
I'm a Lara fan.
Like, it doesn't matter, man. Like, he didn't win according to the scorecards. Fill the fuck out.
I like that guy. I think he's a good fighter, but no. Come on, dude. There was not enough effort. There really wasn't enough effort from either guy, in my opinion, in that fight. But if we're going to be, scoring effort versus effort, I don't think there was any doubt in my mind.
Well, it was
Canelo
a dread,
should have
it was
won
a
that fight, but
fight. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you
exactly.
You could argue, yeah, Lara maybe you could have scored him 7 rounds and he won the fight, but it was a terrible fight, and the people weren't saying Lara's going to eke past Canelo in a horrible fight. People were saying Lara's going to dominate him. He's on another skill level, and that didn't happen.
But you,
well,
you don't
I think
know
that,
what the fuck you're talking about. Lara was about space and whatever, fuck all that shit. How do we even get on to that? Kirkland doesn't, I don't know that he's going to be at his best, and he probably needs to be at his best to beat Canelo. So I imagine Canelo beats him.
Hey, just another testament to, I think, how good that Golovkin has gotten, at least in terms of perception, is that I haven't seen, you know, a lot of our usual boys, the Twitter contrarians, with the whole, like, I could see Martin Murray troubling him a little bit, you know, like they
yeah.
have every other Danny Teal and every other
yeah,
guy
exactly.
who got smashed in three
He throws
rounds.
A nice reverse uppercut into a hook that could really, if he pivots correctly, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's very little of that. And that's, you know, that's probably a compliment in some way, or a criticism of Murray. I don't know. Yeah, I guess you can take it either way. But yeah, we haven't seen a lot of that. Dude has 12
so
knockouts.
The problem, with Murray here is that like his two biggest wins or whatever was actually a draw and a loss.
Yeah.
You know, the two
yeah.
fights that have given him any kind of a real credibility, he didn't win.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of what one of the you know, Twitter questions that I asked when we were talking about it was, you know, basically, are we giving too much credit to Martin Murray for, you know, almost beating Sergio Martinez, who at this point, especially in hindsight, was probably a really shitty version of Sergio Martinez with a bum knee, a broken hand. You know, I believe at that point he had been out for a little bit on an injury at that point, too. So anyway, I mean, I don't want to read too much into it or create some type of fucking algorithm for the thing. But the point is that, yeah, I mean, it might be an indictment of the middleweight division if we really are saying this is Gennady Golovkin's, you know, last final speed bump, or if this is the last holdout to really, you know, taking over the middleweight division without actually beating the champion or something. So, yeah, I mean.
And I just also want to say, I think Golovkin beats the living shit out of David Lemieux. I know there's going to be some people that are like, Lemieux can punch, and that's going to be a, you know, a firefight while it lasts. I mean, yeah, there's going to be punches thrown, and 95% of them are going to be landing on Lemieux until he gets stopped, probably in, like, the second round.
Yeah,
well,
he was knocked out by Rubio.
Exactly.
And
I was going to say
Lemieux
it might have been a few years ago, but the guy that,
so,
you know, Golovkin totally walked straight through Lemieux at the end. So, I, you know, normally I don't do the A over B, you know, A over C type of shit, but in this case I think that it has credence.
And like, that fight, I don't know that fight's happening anytime soon now, because Lemieux was kind of fun, and they got him on HBO, and now he's with Oscar,
exactly.
And he draws well in Quebec, because fucking everybody draws well in Quebec, and so I don't know that that's happening anytime soon, but he gets smashed, which would be awesome, sweet. And if it was in Quebec, I would totally.
It'd probably be fun, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, that's the reality of the situation for it. Although I do feel bad lamenting the professional outlook for someone who gets paid what he gets paid on HBO to fight the fighters that he's fighting. Like, my heart does not bleed.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, it's just a little disappointing that there might be someone special there, and, you know, we probably aren't going to know.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of frustration, I am loath to bring this up, and then this will literally be the last time that I bring this up for a serious discussion that I, you know, actually think will go anywhere on the show until it happens, but Mayweather-Pacquiao. I mean, I do think that it is worth talking about, even if it's just this one fucking last time, seriously. And the reason why is I have been one of the biggest detractors or biggest, like, you know, this shit is never going to fucking happen and I don't care type of people over the last few years. And they actually got me to care. they actually got me to think that this shit might be happening. And so now I'm kind of at the point, and I think that many of us are at the point where if this doesn't happen this time, yeah, we might still watch it in the future, sure. I'm not saying, I'm not totally writing it off, but I think that that would be a really big blow to the kind of, I don't know, hardcore contingent, I guess you could say, of people who are holding out saying, oh, shit, it looks like it's going to happen this time, and then wind up just getting kicked in the nuts over it again. I don't know. Could be exaggerating. Might not be exaggerating. So, Jimmy.
Yo.
I know that The Cruelest Sport, in particular, is not really the type of site that's going to be looking for clicks talking about a Mayweather-Pacquiao matchup. That's good. That's a good
sure.
thing. But that also means that, you know, most of your take that we get on this Mayweather-Pacquiao shit is on Twitter, and it's rightfully hilarious.
Yes.
But your serious take here, as far as this fight, the potential for it being made, and what this means, and this negotiating process, I mean, it just really makes me wonder if this doesn't happen, or if it doesn't happen, is there another fight on the horizon where a negotiating process, just the fucking negotiating process, they had a meeting, they didn't have a meeting, they called, they didn't call, you know, is there another fight where this could potentially, you know, make headlines like this? And if not, what does that mean?
I don't think there's another fight. I mean, ask yourself now, pick the fight you want to see more than any other fight right now, and ask yourself, you know, hypothetically, in 5 years, will you still want to see it? And will it, you know, even if the answer is yeah, it doesn't involve the principles in this one, so I don't think so. And we already talked about how there really isn't anyone who's going to fill those shoes, or two guys who can fill those shoes. Like, two? That's fucking crazy, man. I don't know. So, I'm doubtful that anything like that is going to come along anytime soon.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
So on a scale of leaked Christina Ricci nudes to Golovkin showing up at your house and offering to be the godfather to your unborn child, how much of a chubby did you have during the Pacquiao Mayweather meeting at the Heat game?
Yeah, it's the greatest thing. I don't care. Like, everybody's being just worn out by this, and I get it. And the negotiations I haven't even followed, because I don't give a shit, because until they're in the ring, none of that shit matters. And I know that I'm being lied to the entire time. And because information travels the way it does now through social media and stuff, you can hear a million different things, and you know that matters with the sound of the first bell. But that was pretty amazing, seeing those two guys standing next to each other, because it's something I've wanted to see for years, and I still want to see it. I'm not one of the people who's like, fuck it, whatever, it's run its course, the time has passed. Are you kidding? Like, that's still mad compelling. And the kind of narrative that, you know, like, Pacquiao was deteriorated to the point where it's a whitewash now, and then Floyd is going to handle him. I still want to see it. Like, what's the big deal? Like,
we all
a
know
bunch
that
of shit I don't really care about.
We all know that.
No, I want
Madonna
that.
Is much, much better than Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
He gave Floyd. I mean, he could be competitive with
that's
Floyd.
That's why it
Pacquiao
took two tries,
destroyed.
Right? Yeah, that's why it took two tries to kind of prove that dominance, because Madonna is such a beast. Like, Madonna's a great fighter, all that shit. But come on, man. Like, see through your own. People just need to, like, look past how jaded they are, or like how fucking uncool it may be, or whatever. I don't care. Like, I thought them, like, texting, whatever. I wanted to know what they were saying. Like,
you hired a lip reader to.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I'm still all in that fight. Like,
Didn't you think Pacquiao looked like kind of uncomfortable in that? Like, almost like disgusted or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you have a bodyguard?
I can tell you right now. I can tell you right now, I don't know Manny Pacquiao, but through experience, I do know that he does not speak English for fucking shit. And when I say he doesn't speak English for shit, I don't mean that, like, he's slowly learned English over the last decade and a half that he's been here fighting and living half of the time. I mean, he doesn't speak English for shit, dude, like, almost at all. If you speak at him, like, in a normal tone, clear, you know, normal speed like I am now, he's not going to get anything. And so, I mean, there's a lot of stupid context behind all these, mystery meetings and videos and shit like that. And people are like, oh, Manny looks scared. No, dude, to me, he looks like he does not understand a fucking word that's being said. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does Michael Kahn have to have, like, is that dude, like, the sleaziest looking person? I mean, I'm normally
just behind Richard Schaefer.
Pro pack, but like, man, that Michael Kahn's guy is just like a fucking snake oil salesman. I mean, he's
been around
looks so slimy. At least he doesn't have that like long hair anymore. That was pretty brutal.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
man,
I mean,
I'm all for it. I'm still in. I'm like, I would love for it to happen. I'd be totally excited. And like, and maybe I'm wrong. And the best way to find that out is to have it happen. And so fucking let's have it.
Well,
The thing that I'm like most horrified about with this potential fight is if it's made, when it comes down to who are you picking, you know, because I'm not going to make any bones about it. I want Pacquiao to win, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm just a much bigger fan of his than I am of Floyd. And I've just, you know, Floyd's undefeated and I think it'd be just so awesome. And most of it is because I find that a lot of the people picking Floyd, like you say, it's like, oh, it's going to be a whitewash. I just want to prove those fuckers wrong so badly. So like, I don't even think I can really pick the fight because I can see ways that both guys win. I do objectively think it's going to be competitive, but I don't want to take that easy cop out of like, well, you know, Mayweather's a supremely, you know, defensive genius and he's going to outbox, you know, even though I love Pacquiao, I think Mayweather's going to outbox him. I'm not going to do that cop out bullshit to try to hedge it both ways, you know, but I know if I'm picking Pacquiao, I'm really just picking with my heart. So it's like one of those fights where, yeah, I want it more than any other fight too. And have for years, but I think it's when it comes down to picking, I think it's going to be so obnoxious just reading people's picks because I think the stock answer is going to be Mayweather by decision. And you know people are going to pick that mostly just because they're afraid of like going out on a limb. And then you're going to have other people who are picking Pacquiao I just don't think anyone can be objective about this fight now. It's so polarizing. You know, everyone has a guy that they want to see win.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Right. The fight picks are meaningless, but I'm still going to fucking read them on my Twitter timeline for 2 months.
Yeah. I don't know. I would be mad into that shit. Like, I don't generally get excited when I watch boxing, but there are a few guys. But that fight, I would be like, I would have people at my house to be making a ruckus, and there would be people at my house who don't give a shit, but are just kind of, you know, like, well, that's happening? Okay, I'm coming, you know? Like, I don't know. Maybe this is definitely not cool of us to be like jerking off over this fight as much as we are, or even talking about it, I guess. But yeah,
as we're talking, Mayweather Khan is being announced on Twitter right now.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Fuckers. Well, yeah. There's no question in my mind. What option is Floyd going to have? And again, I don't want to dive too deeply into this, but there is going to have to be some type of deadline here. As far as making that fight versus making a different fight. And if he has to make a different fight, there's going to be some hard choices to make. So I don't know. We're going to have to see exactly where it goes. But one last thing, if I may, that, you know, Jimmy, you had mentioned, I think that unfortunately part of this narrative for, I don't know, the last half decade or more with Floyd Mayweather has been, it doesn't really matter because whether he fights him or not, he would beat him. Narrative with Antonio Margarito. And that's probably the most glaring example. And, you know, that was probably true. Yeah, I probably would have picked Floyd Mayweather to beat Antonio Margarito. But isn't trying the whole point? So anyway, I hope that we're able to make something of this because this has been drawn out too long to get nothing. It's really just been drawn out too long, taken up too much print, too much fucking cyberspace, too much thought, too much discussion, too many fucking tweets. It needs to just happen if it's going to happen.
And I really don't think that would be any different if the schedule was full. Like, people can say, well, we need some fights because this horse is being beat to death like a third time. But I don't know that that would be any different. Like, you could put some fights in the schedule. I hear boxing happens on Fridays. I don't know anything about that shit. But, like, even if you had some fights out there, they would still kind of dominate. Like, they were standing together. Me and Foley were sending each other emails, jerking off about it, you know? Like, so it's, I don't know that even if there was more on the schedule, people would still be talking about it. But we can stop talking about it.
Yeah. But yeah, totally. I mean, it's
Jimmy.
I admit that my – sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, I was going to shift gears a little bit. If do you think we've
please do
lost
no
the Mayweather pack?
Yep.
I just wanted to ask.
I was going to as well.
Like
so
a,
please do.
All right. Do you have a guy like a favorite guy? Obviously Golovkin's up there, but among kind of like the younger fighters, Keith Thurmans, Danny Garcia's, those type of guys. Do you have anyone that you particularly like and or see becoming, you know, a great fighter?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Lomachenko. I think Lomachenko is amazing.
Oh,
and he's
forgot about him.
Young, and he's you know, he's ambitious as hell, and he has a pedigree that kind of speaks to his quality, and he's in the division where you would think, unless things get all fucked up, and they tend to do that, but he's in the division where there are guys he can fight that are those are his top three fights I want
but
to see.
But he's not with Al Haymon, though.
No, he's not. I don't know if Walters is. I mean, that was the rumor, right? But who knows? But that's like, I'm a guy. Like, those dudes, I mean, I forever love Walters for what he did on the undercard of Golovkin-Rubio. I was dancing in my seat with JPF and Michael Nelson. But
and you have the picture of Rachel Dener handy on your phone whenever you need
it. Yeah, that's the best. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I think Lomachenko is my guy. Obviously, like, there's just something, there's something really, really compelling about him, and it's not like his chiseled face or his, I don't know, any other
his stuff. Hilarious Instagram feed.
Yeah, like there's something about a guy like who came out and went for a title right away and has all those that you know, I don't know, like this, that's rare. Like, he doesn't have to be as ambitious as he is, and people can give him a hard time for, like, maybe skirting a few of the steps that you take, but who gives a shit? Like, people want to see him, and he's really good, and so let him get it. He wants to, and so that's a guy that I'm pretty high on.
Totally. And that actually, not Lomachenko, but the kind of, you know, younger or I guess, you know, fighters that could be getting a push kind of leads into this whole Haymon business. And I wanted to ask you where you think this, that Haymon is going to be, you know, the branching out to NBC, NBC Sports, Spike, et cetera, where do you think that's going to lead in the long term? I mean, one of the funny things that I, of course, I pay attention to Twitter and stuff like that as I'm watching this, or as we're talking, and Eric Raskin, famed Eric Raskin, said, has anyone coined the term Haymonopoly yet? And that's number one, perfect. And number two, I was thinking about that. There has to be some point at which this is too much. Like, Haymon has his hands in too many pots. I don't know. Now, I could be wrong. I could be paranoid. But what's your take, Jimmy, on this recent expansion?
Well, I mean, it's so early, right? Like, who knows?
It
is. I don't get how. I don't get how the money shakes out. I don't know the business of it. It's, you know, whatever. But maybe it's a good thing initially. I mean, okay. So when the Showtime thing happened and Floyd went, we got good fights right away, and Haymon was like giving us the announcement for these fights that are going on his PBC or whatever, and they're decent, right? Like, let's not shit on them. They're better than what we're used to, but. The reason that they're better than what we're used to was because of what that guy gave us last year.
Totally.
It's not a given.
Yeah, maybe that.
Good fights. His history is of shit, like giving us shit. So until
maybe that was
there,
part of the plan.
Yeah, maybe it was part of the plan, right? Maybe that was part of the plan. But like, that guy's not in my good graces. You know, I saw what he did. Like, I watched those fights. The kind of crap that he made, not just last year, but like, even before that, like those HBO matches that dudes were getting paid tons of cash to fight nobodies. Like, yeah. That's his history, right?
Basically, so, just look at Andre Berto's career.
Exactly. That's the guy. So if Haymon's going to rewrite his history with stuff that's compelling and entertaining and I'm excited about, then whatever. Like, it's not on me to kind of maintain my dislike or aversion to him. I don't care about Al Haymon. I only care about the kind of product that he puts out. So if he changes his product and it's good, then so be it. But my initial reaction, and maybe it's as younger or whatever, is that, like, that guy did us wrong before, and since he doesn't really care about boxing so much, I don't think there's no reason to think he won't do it again. So I don't know. Like, let's wait and let it shake out. I'm not going to, like, show up at his house with pitchforks and fucking torches and whatever, but let's just wait a bit and see how it shakes out. But I'm not optimistic, and maybe that's wrong, but maybe that's that guy's fucking fault. You know, I don't know.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pat. No, go ahead, Patrick.
No. I was just going to say, don't feed us shit. And then later on be like, yeah, I'm totally giving you real food this time. You
yeah,
know, I mean,
exactly.
It's, come on. Sorry, go ahead, James.
Now, I was just going to go rapid fire round here. Jimmy, will your boy Victor Ortiz ever win another meaningful fight?
I don't
like
know.
A sigh of, like, you want to say yes.
I want to say yes. So, like, what's he fighting? Like, is he fighting, like, it depends on the competition.
Can
Need him to,
like
read
Amir
a Cat in the Hat book.
Or somebody
can
like
do
that.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think that he didn't, like, I don't know that the jaw is there anymore. I don't know that the drive is there anymore. It was a fun run.
Do you think
on.
It's probably
face
that he has a weak chin, or that he just doesn't want to get hit in the face and doesn't want to be a fighter?
Yeah, I mean, those things are kind of the same, right? Whether you don't want to get hit, if you don't want to get hit in the face, then you want to be a fighter, because getting hit in the face is part of it. I don't know. I think that's probably it. But that doesn't mean a profile fight again. He could probably get up there pretty quickly, but I think of a guy right now that he could beat, and you can't be get lucky, right? Like, I don't know.
What do you think about Berto and Josecito?
It's decent. I don't know that either guy has much left at this point. Like, Josecito has been in some tough fights and taken some pretty steady lumps, and then Berto getting knocked out, you know, by Dot against Jesus Soto Carras, that doesn't bode well for your ability to withstand punishment anymore. But that could get sad, that fight, in a hurry. Although probably not for most people, because everybody fucking hates Berto. But or is it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. It'll probably be good. So
yeah.
It'll be good for us. I mean, while we sit there and watch them beat each other into vegetative states, it'll be fun.
Yeah. For sure.
Right? Come on, help me out, guys.
Would you?
Oh yeah, unabashedly so.
What do you think about Rios against? Like, I thought he looked pretty good against Alvarado. I mean, Alvarado didn't offer much, but I could see Rios getting mixed up in a couple more wars.
Yeah, for sure. He looked good. But everyone's kind of on the same page with that one. I think it's Alvarado didn't tell us anything about Rios really, because Alvarado never showed up. And that wasn't just like going out there and fooling a guy who cut corners. Like, I don't think it was a matter of Alvarado cutting corners. Like, I'd be surprised if he did anything. You remember? Do you guys see that that shadow boxing video of his that went around?
Was that real? Because I still can't.
Yeah,
I still don't know
exactly. Yeah, that was. Bad.
I don't know. It looked so bad that. Well, going into the fight, I was like, "There's no way that's real." But after the fight, now I'm like, "Fuck, dude, maybe that was real."
Yep.
Was that
so?
Because that's about how he looked.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so
about how he looked. I mean,
Alvarado's got his shirt off, and the other guy's wearing like some crazy colored shirt.
Yeah, like a hazmat suit or something.
It looks like a hell of a party, though.
But tell me, dude, like Ruslan versus Rios would be fucking awesome. Or the winner of Matisse Ruslan versus Rios, if they were willing to like go to 147, that's still awesome. I don't care.
Hell yeah.
We could have nothing. And just the idea of that fight makes it worth seeing. So I'm still in on that. He's still a tough guy. Him and Bradley would be a good fight. because he keeps coming. Cool. He can fight on the inside, and Bradley likes to mix it up for better or worse, usually for worse.
I think it'd be a good fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of this phenomenon, how perception changes so quickly from fight, you know, where it's like a couple fights ago, Rios, he's totally shot, and this guy's going to be in a, you know, he's going to be in a freaking straitjacket in 5 years. We have to protect him from himself, you know, and then he looks great against, you know, Alvarado, and now it's like, nah, I'd be down to see him in Ruslan. Where a fight or two ago, we would have thought, you know, after what Ruslan did to Alvarado and Rios getting, you know, just battered by Pacquiao and taking the punishment in the second Alvarado fight, we would have thought that Ruslan, you know, would destroy Rios. And isn't it just,
yeah,
it's kind of funny how, the you know, one or two fights and it's like, no, nah, it's a pretty good fight, actually.
Yeah, I think it's part of that is inactivity, right? Like, it's just not enough to kind of go on. So you see a guy once every two or twice a year, and then there's always a way to kind of rationalize the outcome of the first fight or the second fight that year in a way that forces you to rethink the next one. I don't know if that makes sense, but like if guys were fighting more, you'd have a better judge. Because they're not, you don't really know. And because they're fighting guys,
exactly,
who don't fight enough, really don't know. Ultimately,
in a way, it potentially makes the outcomes a lot more variable, but also,
exactly,
in another way, it makes it kind of watered down because we don't know if this is the, you know, best version of this fighter that we're seeing.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, we still want to see it, but it can be hard to say. But I think Rios, you put him in there with a guy who's willing to stand and trade, it's going to be good. Even if he has left.
If we're going rapid fire here, I got to ask you,
yeah,
if it's between eating moose liver in Siberia,
yeah,
with Ruslan and country western line dancing just outside of Kansas City with Victor Ortiz, what do you pick?
Moose liver.
Because you could go country western line dancing anytime, really. You can just,
yeah,
call,
I mean,
Vic
my
up.
Dad lives in Alberta. There's a country and western bar that we go to. I could go line dancing. I've never been to Siberia, so I go to Siberia.
Fair enough. I guess I answered my own question, but it needed to be asked nonetheless. I had something else written down too that I was going to ask you. Oh, well, kind of on the heels of this Heyman business and what you had talked about with the TV dates, I think that has a potential to be changing. You know, those kind of conversations converge a little bit, and with Al Heyman opening this business up here, and with more TV dates suddenly becoming available out of nowhere, just kind of popping up, do you think that this explosion of TV dates, or a mini explosion of TV dates, will be better for the fighters?
Okay, so I don't really know, because if like it's all timeshare that Heyman is buying, then he still has to pay them. Right, so like the network isn't gonna put up a license fee for it or anything like that. So I don't know. And then I don't know. It's hard to say at this point because he has a tendency to kind of put things together really quickly. Is that really, you know, if more TV dates mean more fights get made on the quick, is that good for fighters? I'm not sure. Being on TV is for sure. So your career that you are getting short notice to get ready, but it is better to be on TV, I suppose. There might be a couple ways to look at it.
I think it's tough to argue that Heyman hasn't been good for his fighters.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally. Yeah, I'm more, you know, the concern I think with most of us is the long term. You know, what's going to happen long term from this, and nobody knows. There's no way to know for sure. But I mean, I do think that it's going to be interesting all of a sudden having this kind of, you know, comparatively a proliferation of television dates when before it was tough to get on TV. And also it makes me wonder, is anybody ever going to be willing to fight a substantial bout off TV anymore, ever again? And the answer is probably going to be no forever. But regardless, I think that that's an interesting prospect that a lot of fighters should look into, and they just don't. They just don't really. But yeah, anyway, the whole Heyman business, I do think that it's interesting, and I'm kind of eager to see what happens of it. It's just, like you said, Jimmy, I don't know, dude, color me skeptical for not really thinking that things shake out exactly how they want them to. You know, I mean, we got the start of a tournament last year on Showtime that never followed through, and now it's following through like a year later when we don't want it anymore. So I don't know. We have to see exactly where this leads, but I don't know. It's difficult to be optimistic. How can you be optimistic, really?
Yeah, and I think part of it is like because it's like it's grist for the mill, right? Like we're on Twitter and we're fucking around all day, and it gives us something to talk about. Whatever, like, but if there wasn't this kind of way for these people, like weirdos like us, to kind of mull it over and ruminate on it together all the time, I don't know that it would have the same kind of significance. This conversation with you, or if I didn't see all that shit on my timeline, that I would care that much. I would just be like, all right, fights this day, that day, whatever. But it's under more of a microscope now, I guess, because we don't have anything better to do. So it might seem more
that's
dramatic,
part of it, yeah, I'm sure.
More significant than it is, right? I don't know that that's the case. The only thing that really matters are the fights that are being made, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, James, if you got Jimmy's probably got 8 to 10 minutes to go, as far as the time he's got left. So if you got some shit to fire at this man, please do.
Oh yeah, well I was going to ask you, do you have any early thoughts on Thurman and Guerrero? Because to me, that's my favorite of the Al Haymon fights that have been announced so far.
Yeah, man,
I know Guerrero's your boy, so try to be objective here.
I'm not a fan of Robert Guerrero, but he's a tough dude. Yeah, I know. Fuck, he's done against Southpaws before, but that's like a tough fight to me. People like kind of dismiss Guerrero a lot. I know I do because his fucking backstory turns my stomach. Just sick of it. But he's good, and Thurman is kind of rusty and hasn't fought in a little bit and didn't look great in his last fight and is still probably a better fighter. But that's a live fight to me. Maybe I like Peterson Garcia more. Just because I like the style matchup there. I don't really know what to expect from the Guerrero fight, but that guy's going to be there. Like Thurman can bang, but Guerrero is a tough fucking guy, and he's going to be there, and he knows what he needs to do in there. I think that's a really good fight. I know that it's not like, I would be surprised if Thurman banged Guerrero out, and I'll give him a lot of props if he does.
Hey, another question. I know we were both like, when Danny Garcia beat Matisse, we were both, I think we talked about it at the time, like, we were both really impressed. And at that point, we were both kind of thinking, you know, wow, like, here's this guy, he's taking some tough fights, you know, beating Amir Khan the way that he did, and then you know, being so poised against
yep.
Matisse, who was thought of as such a, you know, killer, and that Danny would be in over his head and would take a beating, and it wasn't the case at all. I mean, he not only outboxed him, you know, he landed the bigger punches that night and dropped him. How is this last year and a half of Garcia fighting Herrera and not looking great, and then the Rod Salka fight, which is complete farce, and now he's fighting the guy that Matisse disposed of in 3 rounds, and Peterson really hasn't had, you know, a significant win on that type of a level since then, but he's, you know, he kept his belt because it was like a catch weight, I guess. Have you jumped off the Danny Garcia bandwagon, or do you still think that at some point he can kind of get back in your good graces?
Well, I think he's so fight and what happened to Garcia last year, and it makes me look like Haymon was really kind of, they fucked up with the Herrera fight, picked the wrong guy, but whatever, he got through it. And then they fed him Salka, which was just embarrassing. But, like, why is he so important? Like, are there plans for him? I don't get it. Like, why does he get to fight at catch weights? You know, there was talk of the 10-round, and now it's 12 rounds, whatever, against Peterson. Peterson is good. I think Peterson could beat him because he can fight on the way there. But, like, I wonder, like, why is Garcia so important that after the Herrera fight, he got Salka, and he can't make 140, right? Like, that's... I'm assuming that's it. So I wonder, like, what the plan is for him. Like, are they priming him for Floyd at some point? I don't know. But I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty happy with the Peterson fight. If he fights Peterson and then he goes to 147, or he can fight one of the welterweights that are available to him, like even the loser of like Guerrero, Thurman, I would be into, you know. So I don't know. I think it's going to depend on what's next for him. Like last year was a wash, and out of last year for him, I think, was when everybody was putting those cherry emojis on his Instagram photos. That was fucking hilarious. I think he's still a really good fighter, and he's proven it, but it's time to do something.
Well, Peterson might be a step
in the right direction.
But, you know, he had that, I mean, he had the primary undercard spot on the, you know, highest selling pay-per-view of all time. Floyd and Canelo, and it wasn't a showcase fight. I mean, that was a fight where he was an underdog, and to have that kind of a performance, that kind of a signature career-defining win, and it wasn't like his first big win. He had the Amir Khan win before that. You know, remember that part of Matisse's mystique going into that fight was that he was coming off of destroying Lamont Peterson in three rounds in Atlantic City in a fight that wasn't remotely competitive. So he beat that guy, and now a year and a half later, he's fighting the loser of Matisse and Peterson. And I'm with you that I think Peterson's a credible opponent. I think he's a good fighter. You know, I have no idea why this fight wasn't last March, but it doesn't prove much. I mean, he could theoretically, you know, Peterson is not, he's definitely a live dog, but I don't think it proves that much if Danny beats him. I think it proves he's still exactly where he was at the night that he beat Matisse, where he seemed real, you know, poised for superstardom, maybe. I mean, he looked like a guy, of all those young fighters, he had the best resume. If they wanted to throw one of those undefeated guys in there with Floyd, he would be the guy. I think it's been a little bit frustrating. And
I really think that's, like, speaks to, you know, and I don't know, I don't have any access to this shit, but, like, right? Like, he's getting a kind of, like, his treatment is a little bit more privileged than everybody else. So I don't know what's going on there.
Do you think Angel like went into Al Haymon's office and just did some crazy shit, and they're like, all right, let's just give Danny a couple.
Yeah. Like, they just started.
Hey, well, you know,
slabs at him.
Well, do you guys remember a couple months ago when that chick came out and said, you know, I got dirt on Al Haymon because I was one of his call girls forever, and he likes having fingers stuck up his ass. Maybe Angel's finger was the one up his ass. I'm just throwing this out there because, I mean, there's no other fucking explanation for Danny Garcia getting preferential treatment. Basically, he was thrown one hard fight, and they're like, all right, now you get fucking, you know, off-seas forever. You get vacation for the rest of your life. I mean, it's pretty bullshit. And on top of that, if they are selling a Floyd fight, they're going about it the wrong way, because Floyd's already the fucking heel. He's already the bad guy, and Danny Garcia is not a good guy. People hate that dude. So if they're really pushing that fight, they're going about it the wrong way.
And if you're going to say he's the best guy at 140, well, he's not fighting there now. Like, he's moving, you know, incrementally out of that division.
Well, that's another question, is how long do we have to recognize guys like Danny Garcia and Miguel Cotto as lineal champions when they haven't defended their championship and they're not even fighting in the division against any top contender?
That's the problem.
I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. That's just like a thing. Like,
looks too real to me, damn it.
Well, unless we have any larger issues to wrap up, I was going to say, let's go ahead and shut this shit down. Are you guys down?
Sure, man.
Yes, sir.
I know Jimmy's got to get going in a minute here. Well, I had a couple things to do real quick, so that's why I wanted to give it a minute or two. But I was going to say,
Patrick, let's also just put our fingers up in Jimmy's ass and say thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, above all.
We'll give him the Al Haymon treatment.
Thank you.
More like Al Heyman, is that a finger up your ass? I made that vine a while ago. Don't forget to check out the new Queensbury Rules Radio Facebook page. I mean, really, there's Facebook pages for everything, so why not, really? If anybody who's not on Twitter would like to address a topic, question, you know, anything you'd like us to say on the show, feel free to ask us there. We'll be happy to give you a shout-out or something. Also, if you are on Twitter, follow our guy, Foley, the real F-O-L, except no substitutions, people. Jimmy Tobin, Jet 79, and me, Voice of Beard. I'll do my best to make sure you regret following me. And so I know the last thing here is, I know a few people were waiting for this before we head out, and I was just going to say I have a September 1985 edition of The Ring magazine. Barry McGuigan is on the cover. Condition is fair to good, but it's still in one piece, fully readable. I came up with a trivia question that I think is pretty good. And the question is, of all of the belt holders over the years, which was born in the easternmost point of the continental United States? So this person was a two-division belt holder, which is different from what I would consider a full-fledged champion. So if you know how to look, look on Google, look on wherever, the answer should be pretty easy to find. Once you have the answer, go and click like on the TQBR Radio Facebook page, and there will be a pinned thread there a couple minutes from now. Reply with the correct answer. First person gets the magazine. And then you'll get to see Mr. McGuigan's fantastic mullet and mustache combo on the front. It's a 30-year-old magazine. So anyway, that's it. That's all I wanted to say. Yeah. Jimmy, thank you
Thanks,
so
guys.
Much once more for coming on. You're, what, four or five times now?
Oh, I think I'm going to check. Probably, I think five.
Could be five, but it's been a lot. And
yeah.
And, it was great anyway. We appreciate it. We really do. And everybody, if you're not familiar with his stuff, you're stupid. And go check out the Cruelest Sport ASAP. Also, Bad Left Hook, our boy Foley, and Queensberry Rules. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Take it easy.